I saw on the show sheet this song was released on this day in 2003. Is that what I saw? 2003? In the club. Anybody watch the 50 Cent Diddy documentary on Netflix?
I did.
Did you watch? I don't know if I can watch it because it disgusts me so much what I know I'm about to see, and I'm going to hate this guy even more than I hate him.
You will.
You watched it, Jimmy?
Yeah, I watched it.
Yeah, it's crazy you bring this up because when we were talking to Method Man yesterday.
Oh yeah.
He was back in, you know, he was in music obviously when Diddy wasn't, now we know Diddy stuff anymore. You know, don't miss a Diddy party, and he was bringing him up, and it's always cringe even to say the word Diddy right now. You learn so much. But to your point, it does not make you like him any more than you do right now.
Like it sickens me. Even the court testimony sickened me. And so I know 50 Cent, who hates Diddy, was not going to make a documentary that shined any kind of positive light on him. So I just have avoided watching it because I know it's going to make me sick.
It's other victims, too. I don't want spoiler alert, whatever the hell you got to say. There's other people that tell stories. It's not as like the Cassie video. They watch, you see the entire Cassie video and all that stuff. But there's also other victims like back in the 90s that are talking, and you're just like, this dude, like money saved him for decades.
Right. Like this is a bad, vile guy, and money's saving him now. Like he's only going to be in jail for another year or so.
So I was going to say, if you don't want to dislike him more than you already do, you shouldn't watch it.
Yeah, I don't think I can watch it. Let's do something maybe even more downbeat. 15 minutes of heat. I'll turn it over to you, Solana. We'll do an abbreviated version because yesterday, were you on when I said yesterday was the Diddy Bowl in hockey? Yeah, the Predators versus the Oilers?
Ridiculous.
Anyway, 15 minutes of heat on WQAM is sponsored by Doral Kia, home of the Pricito, their lowest price. Visit them at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com. You know, I was going to say to you, Solana, like, what's wrong with the Heat? But I don't think anything's wrong with them. This is who they are, right? Aren't they just kind of a middle-of-the-road Eastern Conference team, which is exactly what you saw last night? I mean, last night was a little embarrassing, but, I mean, you know, Minnesota's a better team than them, I think.
Sure. For sure. There's no doubt about it. Rudy Gobert is having, he's won 4 Defensive Player of the Year awards. He's having another one of those seasons. This might
I've never seen you say that in that kind of fashion before. Usually it's Rudy Gobert. How has this guy ever won 4 Defensive Player of the Year awards? They all belong to Bam. It's one of the greatest tragedies in all of sports. Now you're saying it like, well, you know, you go up against a guy who's won 4 Defensive Player of the Year awards.
So, no, Hawk, because I'm with you. I was looking funny when he said that. Mm-hmm. So when Bam goes against Gobert, he drops 7. Because Gobert's better at defense than Bam is.
I don't think that's true. I just think, you know, right now, Gobert, he's really proving those 4 defensive player of the year awards, you know, there was some merit there, I believe. He's now finally proving it.
How'd Tyler do last night? What were his numbers?
Tyler looked really good.
Came off the bench, right?
Came off the bench, 17 points, played 29 minutes.
Wow, 17 points. His over-under was 16.5, remember? Yeah. Yeah. Amazing.
Shot 7 of 15, hit a 3. Like, he looked fine. You can tell he wasn't going to play, 40 minutes in the game. Spo said it before the game. But look, I'll go back to Bam, to what you guys have been saying. There's something off here. Crowder, I know your take is that he's got no offensive game. The reality is it's not true. He's not, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon, obviously. He's not going to give you 30 every night. But he averages for his career 20 and 10. So let's stop acting like this guy's a bum. Let's have a legit combo here.
He's a bum, but he's not a one.
Oh, no,
he's
no,
not
no,
a bum,
sure.
But he's not a one.
I agree with that. But right now, first of all, Davion goes 2 of 11. Andrew Wiggins, 3 of 10, miserable. Jovic, 2 of 8. Ware, 3 of 10. Larson, 3 of 9. Bam, 3 of 11. And you didn't have Jaime. You're not winning a game with those numbers against anybody. But Bam, in the last 12 games, has scored 20 points one time. He entered yesterday's game averaging the lowest points he scored, which is 17, since his third year in the league, and he's shooting a career low 45% from the field. He's creating more shots than he ever has in his entire career by almost double the amount per game in terms of volume. And the types of shots he's taking are significantly different this year than they ever were because of the offense that he is playing. So clearly, there's a massive learning curve for him, along with the fact that he's playing with Khalil Ware, who now gets a lot of shots set up for him compared to Bam, who's playing further and further away from the basket. So you guys are right. Like, Bam has regressed this season offensively a lot. And I don't know if it's a funk, or I don't know if this is a result of, hey, this system isn't exactly suited for his skill set. Right now, it's hard to argue against the latter. And Hawk, you're right. That from Brady Hawk, the Heat against top 15 defenses this season, 6-12. The Heat against bottom 15 defenses this season, 14-5. Which
is exactly who they should be when you're in the middle of the pack.
Yeah. And they're in the middle against great teams, they're going to be bad. Decent teams, they're going to be decent. They're going to be in the middle. But to your point, this offense is based around ISOs, one-on-ones. You try to get a mismatch. Correct. You try to swing it fast. That's what I say about Bam. Bam can go score 17, 18. But to your point about the system, my thing with Bam is that Bam is not getting the ball, looking at his defender, and going to get buckets.
He's that's not a great face-up player. He's not a great face-up player. He's not.
I agree with you on that. And that's the part. That's the problem I have with saying he's your one. He's your culture guy.
But we don't want him to be the one.
I want
the two or the three.
Well, he is the one, though.
Yeah. I want a culture of a dude that wants to face up a guy and go get a bucket when we need it.
We all want Anthony Edwards. I mean, yeah, I'm watching Anthony Edwards last night. He leaves the game in the second quarter. He picked up his third foul with 3 minutes left. He goes to the locker room. He comes back before halftime with a cup of pineapple and a fork.
Pineapple. This was the greatest thing because we're watching it. It's me, David, and Laurie, and we're watching it. And they hadn't done a close-up of it yet. And I'm like, DJ's like, what is he eating? And I go, is that a fruit cup? And we're trying to get glimpses of it. And I go, is that vanilla pudding? I thought he was sitting there eating a vanilla pudding for a second, but no, it was pineapple.
He went back. He was hurt. I just need some pineapple. Just give me some pineapple. I'll be set.
Yeah, I mean, we want that. My thing is, I love the offense. It's fun. All that stuff could be true. Yesterday, the Heat ran more pick and rolls for Tyler Hero than they've run for anybody since the opener, which was for Davion Mitchell. Maybe you can do both. Maybe you can play fast-paced. Maybe Norm and Davion and Jaime can do all the things that they've been doing, which has worked for them. Clearly, they've all had better seasons. But also, find a way within that to run pick and rolls for Bam and Tyler Hero together, because that's worked in the past. And that is better for them. Like, maybe it can be both. Why does it have to be one thing and not the other? Which was my takeaway yesterday from the game.
Well, Spo also gets very stubborn. So when he's made up his mind that it's going to be this way, it's pretty much going to stay that way.
But to that, and I'll use a football reference because that's what I lean on because I know the schematics of it. To your question, Solana, can you be the greatest show on turf type team and also be able to ground and pound? Like, teams can't, you can't come out and say, I'm gonna run the ball 35 times, but my quarterback's also gonna throw
That's
the
a great
ball
point.
Times.
You gotta pick a side.
Yeah. You gotta pick a side.
You do, but you know, the best teams that play at the pace that the Heat are playing at, they can take a million threes and make up for, you know, some slow lapses offensively. When the Heat gets slowed down, which is what happens against Minnesota, the size and the length, they can't execute in the half court anymore because they're not running screens and you've got Gobert in the paint and they can't hit a shot. They were like 6 of 23 in the upper paint yesterday because Gobert's guarding the rim. And once they get into the paint, they can't get into the restricted area. So they have to take these floaters and they can't make them. So then what? What do they do? The threes dried up. Then what? Their offense literally could not produce. So you've got to figure out other ways. Play fast, but also, hey, we're playing against a really good defense with size and length. Let's run some screens. Let's get Bam into the spots in the floor where we know he can take shots and execute. And it just hasn't worked. My point was, he's your highest paid player. Something's off right now. And I don't think it's fair to just say it's a mental thing. We did that last year with the Jimmy Butler situation. Fine. You can't keep going 12, 13, 15 games until you say, hey, something has to change here.
Well, listen, none of this matters because tomorrow night, Matas Buzelis and the Chicago Bulls battle the Miami Heat. I'm so torn. I've been looking forward to this UM Fiesta Bowl for 23 years. But how can I not watch Matas Buzelis, Big Vooch, no Giddy, Giddy's out. Mm-hmm. But how can I not watch Coby White and the Chicago Bulls take on the Miami Heat tomorrow night? That's in Chicago, right, Solana?
It's in Chi-Town. You remember what happened last time? We hyped up this matchup, Matas Buzelis and Isaac Okoro, your other boy, and the Chicago Bulls. Remember what happened last time? Heat ran him off the court. It was the most lopsided loss the Bulls had had all season, and Matas Buzelis, in 19 minutes, because he was so bad, finished 2 of 8, 6 points.
You also told me after that game, you see the difference between the Heat and the Bulls. It's laughable, Hawk, that you have said they're the same team all season long. There is such a wide margin of difference between the two. The Heat right now are the 8 seed. The Bulls are the 9 seed.
And, Hawk, I could answer your question. It might have been, you know, hypothetical. How can I not watch Matas Buzelis if Forensic Files is on?
Did you see what he did the other night? Did you see the highlight I sent you the other night?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. That may have been the greatest dunk in the history of basketball.
And it plays right into a person that is obviously more open-minded about the Bulls than you and our friend Sylvie. When we had Sylvie on, he said Matas Buzelis is a crazy athlete, and that's about it. And that dunk is a...
He was playing to you.
Is a crazy dunk. But that's about it, Hoss. Once you figure this out, he won't be your next
member. What's Boozy's numbers this year? I'm looking it up.
Oh, Boozy? 10, 2, and 6.
Nah, he's probably averaging like 14.
14, 5, and 1.
Yep. He's shooting 48%. That's pretty solid.
And 14.7, so 15, really.
Now we're rounding. You are something else.
I mean, he's having a really good season. Shooting 34% from three, takes 5 a game. Like, that's fine.
Yeah. It's going to be tough to just focus on the Canes game tomorrow night when I've got this game just calling my name.
It's funny. I just thought about this because Ava and Chan, we're at IMG. That's why I'm in Bradenton up here, because Ava's playing basketball. And
it's the
Chan's
second time you've said, did you say Bradenton?
Bradenton.
Bradenton.
Bradenton?
Bradenton.
It's no N. It's one N. There's no two N's.
But you're saying Bradington.
Braid. Bradenton. Bradenton.
Right. Two N's. You just
there's
it
two
out.
N's. Is Bradenton?
No. Bradenton.
Oh, Bradenton.
I mean, technically, there are two N's because there's one at the end. I think you were saying there's not no two in the middle, but yeah, there are two. But it's Bradenton.
Bradenton. I probably get this right because they're going to be here for damn near half a decade. Yeah. But no, they're there. And she, like, at.
You're now, at Bridgerton?
There's a black dude on there that I met one time.
I've never seen that show.
Oh, yeah. It's a real pretty black dude.
A lot of nudity on Bridgerton, right?
That's why I'm a fan. It's like Officer and the Gentleman. I like a good old nudie movie.
Yeah, I got to see that, and I got to watch Euphoria.
So you talk about Gobert. Ava's playing. She's seventh grade. She's playing with the high schoolers. They all play together, all the girls. And she does like this little step through, like Euro step thing that she got pretty good at. And she, when I see her setting it up, I was like, oh, yeah, I see. But then I look in the paint, and there's a girl that's 6'4 standing there. And I was like, no. She stepped through and looked at the girl, and then she just grabbed the ball and threw it back out to the point guard.
You've only seen her do it against Davey competition. Yeah. All of a sudden, you're watching an IMG game. You're like, oh, no.
When we have dinner tonight, I'm like, hey, but just let's be a perimeter shooter in this league. Don't go down there with those monsters.
You can take over at the Poznak JCC, but...
She was 20-10-10 at David Posnick.
She must be watching a lot of Drew Smith because, oh, my God, this guy, two times a game, he comes in, he tries to drive on the tallest player from the other team, and the ball gets put into the eighth row two times a game. I mean, Drew Smith, what are you doing, dude?
Well, there's something about being confident in yourself.
Ava sees it before Drew Smith, though, because she said, nope. reset the offense. Bad idea.
All right, real quick look at the headlines. Don Bailey Jr. is going to join us from Arizona. Headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. You always pay less with your Pricito at Doral Kia. Visit them at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com.
I want to revisit the news from earlier this morning. Josina Anderson, there were several different things that happened after our show. Yesterday, Adam Schefter last night, in the first 45 minutes after Harbaugh was fired, his agent said he received calls from 7 NFL teams expressing interest in his client. And then he points out there's 7 NFL head coaching openings, but one of them included Baltimore, who wouldn't be calling themselves. So right. Everybody kind of assumed, is that Miami? Josina Anderson today, I'm told the Dolphins have been in touch on John Harbaugh. And then she writes, it's my understanding Todd Monken could have a path to still being Harbaugh's offensive coordinator. There were some reports that what ultimately led to his firing was the fact that he didn't want to fire Todd Monken, who's his offensive coordinator. And then she also says, adding, it's also my understanding, though, that team quarterback situation will be a big factor in this ongoing decision and evaluation process.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And Harbaugh's had some, before Lamar, Harbaugh's had some garbage quarterbacks, and they're still winning through that.
Makes sense. You think of it as a head coach, you go, well, if I can start out with a really good quarterback or someone who looks like a really good quarterback, i.e. Jackson Dart, man, does that make the job easier.
Yeah. And I do like him, even if it's Coach Monk, you know, and whoever it is, I want Harbaugh to bring in his, whoever he wants. Don't couch him with any GM. Don't couch him with anybody else. Let him bring in everybody he wants to change up what this is. If he's in New York, it is what it is. But we're Dolphin fans. I want him to bring in his OC, his DC, his whatever he wants. If he decides on the Dolphins,
isn't this becoming really messy for the Dolphins though? If they truly are reaching out to Harbaugh, how could you be in the hiring process for a general manager with a head coach in place currently, but also trying to inquire and perhaps trying to woo another head coach who just got let go? How do they do this properly? Because you can't be talking to GMs and saying, yeah, Mike McDaniel's our head coach right now, and we're hiring you to take over this position with him in place. But also, you go and you're talking with Harbaugh, because what if a general manager does get the job? He believes it's going to be Mike McDaniel. Then all of a sudden it's Harbaugh. I don't know. Like, how do they do this properly?
Well, that's why you have Troy Aikman.
And Troy, we trust.
No, obviously, I believe you shelve the GM search if you're all in on Harbaugh, if you've really made that decision. Yeah, because you might want Harbaugh to make the decision of who the GM is. Like, that may be the difference maker in getting him. We know the Giants kept their GM. So maybe Harbaugh says, hey, I got to be able to bring all my people. I've done this, 18 years in Baltimore. I know what it's like to work with someone who I want to work with. So for me, here are the deal breakers. I got to bring my own GM or whatever. So you can't hire a GM if you're in negotiations with Harbaugh, because you have to leave everything on the table for negotiating with him.
100% agree. And to your point, Solana, I think we're working backwards with it. I'm glad that they told us that McDaniel's not involved in hiring the GM, but to the hierarchy, the Giants have an owner, then a GM, and now they're going to find a coach. We have an owner, no GM, with a coach. It's not normal what's going on right now in Miami.
I just think it gets really messy though, because what if Harbaugh says, I'm going to take my time here? We had just spitballed yesterday. He's looking at Buffalo. What if they lose in the first round? They haven't won a road game in the playoffs in 33 years.
Well, that's why you have a head coach. That's why you have a head coach under contract right now.
But don't you need a general manager? Like, forget about Harbaugh just for a second.
Well, I would submit to you, what's more important to you, having a general manager for the next 3 weeks or having
the potential to have John Harbaugh. I mean, it goes back to the Heat, right? Yeah. They passed on deals with the notion that they might get Giannis, right? It's like sometimes you have to say, hey, we're going to take ourselves out of that sweepstakes because we think there might be a bigger payoff. Now, obviously, it didn't work out with Giannis, but you just have to kind of determine which is the greatest possible outcome and do you have a legitimate chance to get there? And if you do, some people swing for the fences.
You could give Cam Cameron the best GM in the history of football. He wouldn't have been a good – we wouldn't have been right. Good. So I think the head coach is way more important. Which it's, I just said it's structured backwards what we're doing, but the head getting the right head coach is more important than getting the right GM.
I agree. I just don't think you can shelve a general manager right now with the situation the Dolphins are in.
Yeah, but if it costs you Harbaugh, you have to. You have to.
Quarterback, head coach. That's one and two in an organization, period.
Well, maybe we can reach out to Chris Greer. Just kind of handle things until we pick the next guy.
Chris still has his South Florida home now.
You know I'm okay with the big three.
Run it back.
Is Tua a bust? Does that go in Chris Greer's
I don't think
list
so.
As a bust?
Nope. His skill set diminished greatly, but he is not a bust.
No playoff wins.
Two playoff appearances.
Two playoff appearances.
Kind of.
Faltered very fast. Body went dead. We knew after he broke his hip and his ankle in college, we knew he was fragile. And the Chargers with Herbert are now in the playoffs.
But he's not a bust. Like he, it
a bust.
It
didn't work. We're talking bust. We're not talking
DeMarcus Russell,
Deion Jordan, Jordan, DeMarcus Russell. That kind of bust. I got. Yeah.
I mean, Deion Jordan. He didn't want to go that high. That was just the Dolphins are idiots. You know, like I don't even consider him a bust per se because who the hell was going to trade up for him? Like he was like, what? What are you guys doing here, buddy?
You don't even remember Eric Kumerow.
Deion was surprised. What happened?
Well, when I think of bust, I think of Trey Lance. I mean, they drafted him with what, the third overall pick, and they traded up to get him, and he didn't play.
Does anybody remember what round Eric Kumerow was drafted?
No,
he's a Dolphins draft pick.
You've referenced the name, and I haven't done the research on Kumerow.
Eric Kumerow, who's 60 years old right now, was drafted by the Miami Dolphins.
First round of 88. So the Dolphins, I remember this story because remember, I graduated high school in 87. So I get down to Miami, going back to the Ticket Wizard. Ticket Wizard is my college roommate. The biggest Dolphins fan you've ever met. And he was, I remember him like, just being incensed that this guy, Eric Kumerow, who no one had projected as a first rounder, went in the first round of the Dolphins. And then later we learned the story. You talk about, you know, Deion Jordan being surprised. Eric Kumerow, when the first round of the draft was going on, was playing racquetball and didn't have his phone because there was not a single draft expert that had him going in the first round. So he was just biding his time, playing some racquetball. Dolphins took him with the 16th overall pick.
Was he sweet?
No.
He
was a bust.
I'm reading here, Hawk. His brother-in-law was John Bosa, who they had drafted with the same selection the year
Another
prior.
Bust.
The year prior. So they drafted him back-to-back.
All right, anything else? Because DBJ is going to join us.
Panthers also play tomorrow. The Heat play tomorrow, but Fiesta Bowl tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. Your weather in South Florida, partly cloudy, nice and sunny. It's in the 80s. Tonight will be in the 70s. That's your weather.
Partly cloudy, nice and sunny. Two competing thoughts.
I cover all my bases.
All right, Don Bailey Jr. is going to join us next from Arizona. We'll talk some Canes, Ole Miss with him.
This is Hawk. Crowder and Solana.
Jimmy, you know how to make a hot tea?
No, I do not.
You know the ingredients of tea?
Water.
Well, Duran Duran.
That's what I'm talking about. You know, DBJ's in Arizona. Duran Duran just played in Arizona the night before last, and I literally thought about going out there to see Duran Duran. I never thought about going out to the Fiesta Bowl, but I was considering going to Arizona to see Duran Duran in concert.
Nobody knew that but you.
I've never seen them in concert, and they're touring very sporadically, mostly in Europe, but I wanted to see them. Anyway, Don Bailey Jr. is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, and he is there in Arizona for the Fiesta Bowl tomorrow night, which you will hear on this radio station. Pre-game starts at 3 p.m. That means we have an abbreviated one-hour show tomorrow. Danny Cannell is going to join us tomorrow on the show to preview the game with us. But 3 p.m., Hurricanes pregame. It's all executive produced by Victor Bermudez, best in the business. I don't know if you've been listening to any of these Canes broadcasts during the college football playoffs, Texas A&M and Ohio State. Victor Bermudez is absolutely killing it. He is the best in the business. And I imagine tomorrow we will get more of the same. You'll get 4.5 hours, really, of pregame. And then the game will kick off at 7:30. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr. will be on the call right here on 104.3 FM WQAM. DBJ, I got a picture from Mrs. Zagacki just moments ago. Joe Z and his wife are at In-N-Out Burger in Arizona. Are you going to make the trip there?
Mrs. Bailey is not does not eat hamburgers, so we will not be going to In-N-Out Burger. But we did go to the Duran Duran. We had backstage passes for the concert.
Yeah, I would tackle you if that was the truth, DBJ.
He didn't like that if I got to get that concert and he didn't, did he? He didn't like that one bit.
I mean, if you were out in Arizona and had Duran Duran backstage passes and didn't call me, the hell with the UM tickets. If you didn't call me for Duran Duran, would you go see them in concert? I mean, come on, you have to like Duran Duran.
Sure. If it was free and it was front row or backstage, I would absolutely go.
All right. There's
simple.
Some hefty parameters there, but
I would love to meet Ringo Starr too.
Yeah, I don't know if that correlates with this conversation, but we'll move along.
They knew each other.
Can you name one member of Duran Duran, DBJ?
Not one.
Simon Le Bon, does that ring a bell? Simon Le Bon?
No. Does not ring any bell at all.
I'll move on to the Canes game.
Somebody's name got to be Duran.
Right. Nobody's named Duran.
No, there is no Duran in Duran Duran.
There's no Duran.
That's a miss.
There's no Danny Duran. There's no Danny Duran.
That's a miss.
Well, how's that possible?
It's like Don Bailey flooring. I mean, there's a Don Bailey with Don Bailey flooring. There's got to be a Danny Duran.
I don't understand. There's nobody in Outkast named Bob Outkast.
That's a hell of an argument, too. He's on his point. Y'all point today, y'all.
Thank you, man. I brought my aim game. So how exciting is it? I mean, I was talking with Josie yesterday, and I was saying, and he was saying, you know what? It's not the pomp and circumstance of a Fiesta Bowl of old. It's not a week-long of events and whatnot, but it's got to be pretty exciting. I saw that the coaches had their press conferences today just a couple of hours ago. I'm imagining there's a good excitement building out there, no?
Yeah, it's a giant excitement. I mean, I think it's going to be fantastic. I mean, we've been here since Monday, so you're here Monday through Friday, so you get 5 days here. There are parts of 5 days, and they've done a great job. The hotel's phenomenal. But listen, this is playoff football. I mean, Joe's right. It's not the bowl and the celebration and the lunches and the dinners and the talent shows. It's not that, because there's four left. This is for an opportunity to go play for the national championship, and both teams are taking it very, very serious. I mean, the schedule is identical to what it is when we're back in Miami, and they're following that to a T, and they're doing everything that they can to keep it as normal as it is when you're playing a home game, and they're doing a great job of it. But this, make no bones about it, every player on this team knows that what this game is about, and when you are 1-0 in this game, that you get a chance to play for a national championship in Miami.
And DBJ, it's funny you say that, because isn't this genius what they've done? I don't know why they didn't do it earlier, where in this playoff game, and I know the 12 and Notre Dame versus Miami and all that stuff, but that was a buildup. And now this is NFL, to be honest. This is, there's wild card, there's buys. The college football playoffs, this is a 10-year thing that they should have done. They missed this by a decade or two.
Well, you know what's funny, Channing? I agree with you, but what was it? 1AA? Those guys have been doing it forever. You know, the divisions lower than this have had the playoffs. And make no mistake. We've been to a bunch of, I can't even tell you how many bowls. This is not a bowl game. This is a playoff game. And, you know, and what does that mean? Well, the intensity and the attention to detail has been ramped up every single week. You know, during the season, it's kind of monotonous in the sense, and you want that. You want that. You want everything. Monday's Monday, Tuesday's Tuesday, Wednesday's Wednesday. And the same thing is true for the playoffs, but you know it's not like you can go on the road and lose by two and you still play next week. You go on, you lose by one and your butt's home and the next team advances. And I think that's really what gets the country's attention, because now you look at these final four teams, everybody deserves to be here. I mean, you can talk about this one lost this or this one lost that or this one's undefeated, or the teams that are here now have endured the test and have earned the spot.
DBJ, it seemed like the Hurricanes' game plan against A&M and their game plan against Ohio State was similar in the sense that they just wanted to run those teams over. They wanted to go beat them up in the trenches, which they were very capable of doing, and just be the more physical team. Can that be the same process tomorrow? Does it have to be the same process tomorrow? Is the game plan any different in your mind?
You know, Solano, we're going to get into this, especially if Miami wins the game, when we get to the week of the championship, we're going to dive into Mario Cristobal's career here, you know, his 4 years and how he's built this. But I will tell you, this is what this team is built for. They are going to try and take that football and shove it down your throat in the run game, period. And you've got a guy that played as much football as anybody you'll ever meet and who works with you every day. And he will tell you in one way or another that if a defense cannot stop the run, it's a long, long day. They've recruited towards it on the offensive line and at the running back spot. They've trained for it. They practice for it. And they work at it diligently in a very physical manner every single day to be the most physical run team in America.
And DBJ, I'm glad you brought this up. We're talking X's and O's, because I told Josie yesterday, and I know you're X and O guy, this damn Trinidad Chambliss, because you know I'm an honorary Cane now, so I'm going to say we. This damn,
you
they're
can,
talking
bro.
About
you can always say we. You're all in.
DBJ, you don't hear him 4 hours a day all season
okay.
long.
As
when it's convenient,
when
he
I'm
says
here.
We. It's so haphazard, DBJ.
I'm going to let him in the club, baby. I'm president of that club. I'm going to let him in.
And
all right.
Hawk, I think DBJ got a little more pull than you at the
club.
He's
Iron Eagle, so I can't, or Iron Arrow, whatever it is.
but DBJ, this whole Trinidad Chambliss, which I love watching him play, he's a very talented young man. But this running around in the backfield, all this Trinidad magic and all the stuff I've heard, they're not talking about Mesidor and Reuben Bain coming after him. He's not going to have all this damn time. They're going to have to make quick decisions. He's not going to run around like he did. And Georgia does have a good front, but it's not Mesidor and Bain. And that's what I continue to tell people as they break this game down.
You know, I hope, and I'll even pray about it tonight. I hope you're right. I really do. The thing that bothers me when you're preparing for this guy is if you look at what he's done, what this offense has done points-wise. Every game's 30-plus except for two, and those were at 24. That's through the whole Southeastern Conference. That's in the playoffs. They have put points on the board. What people aren't mentioning is their entire receiving core, their top four receivers, averaging over 15 yards a catch. The running back, Lacy, this guy's got 1,464 yards and 23 touchdowns on the year in the Southeastern Conference. So I'm with you that it's not number six, and it's not Trinidad Chambliss. It's not just him. But he's got three receivers that help anybody in the country, a couple tight ends that can help anybody in the country, and a running back that leads that conference and rushing, and that is, and 23 touchdowns in a season. That's one heck of a bit of talent. So I hope that Bain and Mesidor can harness this kid and make him stand in a pocket. And if they can keep him still, they'll sack him now, or they're going to chase him out of the stadium. One or the other, they're going to make it difficult on him.
DBJ, we'll be listening tomorrow, and obviously we're concerned with what happens tomorrow night, but I want to ask you one question before we're out of time about the Ohio State game. Did you get emotional? We were talking about it with Lee Sterling. We've talked about it previously this week on the show. John Michaels after the game. We exercised this demon from 2003 where we all, as brief as it may have been, thought that we had repeated as national champions. When they were victorious against Ohio State, did you get emotional?
Hawk, I was emotional from the day I knew we were going to play them until the second that I'm still emotional over it. You know what I mean? And I have a memory about that game like my wife has a memory on me and everything I've done wrong my entire life since I met her. She remembers everything. Well, I remember that game exactly the same way. I remember Porter making that call that cost Miami a championship, and it felt good to beat Ohio State, and it felt good to make sure, you know, for Miami to be where they're at. But I have to tell you, that's going to haunt me for a long time. It really is. I mean, that was just robbery. Robbery.
Now, DBJ, I see Joe Zagacki, just based on the pictures from In-N-Out Burger, he's relaxed. He's in an upbeat mood. He's eating a double-double from what I can tell. He's got the paper hat on at In-N-Out Burger. I know you're always in a state of relaxation. How's Victor Bermudez, the executive producer? Is he very tightly wound because, you know, he bleeds 305?
He does, man. And you know what? He's if you didn't know him, you'd think, oh, he's relaxed or he's medicated. If you know him and you look in his eyes, he's ready. He's on point. Vic's the best. Is there anybody better? I mean, he gets us prepared. He has us in line. Everything's lined up. And, you know, if I hope this team runs through the smoke like Vic does when he runs into the press box tomorrow. I want the same intensity for this football team as Victor Bermudez has.
You don't, because that look in his eyes is steroids, DBJ.
Yeah, he is medicated. It's called anabolic steroids.
Is that how he gets those big arms, bro? I wonder how he gets those big arms. Skinny calves and big arms. That's a big sign. That's a big sign of what he's doing, isn't it? Little chicken legs and biceps. That's what we call it.
It ain't the water in Hialeah. It's something else, man.
He ain't get that big in Hialeah, DBJ. Nobody's that big in Hialeah.
DBJ, have a good call tomorrow night. Again, 3 p.m. is when the pregame starts on this very radio station. And DBJ, obviously, a big part of the pregame show. And then the game itself, 7:30, kicks off right here, 104.3 FM WQAM. Bring us home a dub, DBJ.
I'll do it, and we'll do this one more time, baby. We got to get ready for that championship game.
Sure.
That'd be great. I saw some of the get-in prices for the championship game. You're going to have to hook me up with a couple, DBJ.
Hook you up with a couple. Okay. Well, we got to start working on those media passes, bro, because there ain't no tickets for that game. I can tell you that.
Yeah. I was afraid of that answer. We'll see you, DBJ.
See ya.
There you go, Don Bailey Jr. 5 o'clock, Funky Buddha Happy Hour is next.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
It's a chain thing. You wouldn't understand.